the next one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now time is gone, and I have a word that I'd like to present tonight to the church. And of course, I am very much conscious for the type of meeting we're having tonight. It is a testimony service, but it is a meeting designed to reach out to those who are not yet in the kingdom, that they might make that decision to serve the Lord before it is too late. And one of the things that the Lord has said to his disciples before he left is that they should be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. Why witnesses? To tell others about him, that they too might get to know him. And so it is against that background that we have this particular meeting planned every month, that others who are outside of the body of Christ will get a chance to come in. And I trust that tonight might be your night as you make that decision. Sunday, the Lord has blessed us with a tremendous word from one of our sisters, Sister Higgins from New Divine. And the topic that she uses was Arise. This is the final hour. And in that she said a number of things which was quite relevant to the time and the season that we are living in. And the thing was that the thing occupied my mind so much that I as a result of pondering over what she had said, I myself went into Peter to look on a few things. And the word that I have tonight is really coming off of some of the things that Sister Higgins had said there on Sunday. She is the one who inspired my heart to go to Peter to look up a few things that Peter said. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight, as we have the reading of the scripture from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 14. And I will be speaking to us on the topic, living in a culture of lack of assurance in God's word. Living in a culture that lack the assurance in God's word. That is the topic I would like to use tonight as we ponder over the word of God for a few minutes. It is interesting to know that Peter, you can feel the passion as you read the word coming out of God's servant. There's a passion that he had as he penned these lines, informing his readers about the word of God. And Sister Higgins on Sunday, she called all of us to attention, called all of us to arise out of our sleeping and recognize the seriousness of the time. And as I ponder over what she had said and come up here to Peter, I feel the same passion in Peter as he penned these lines to the church, informing them about the seriousness of the time. And one of the things that he speaks to here is that the word of God is something that is to be taken seriously. Because what we discover right now is that we are living in a culture that lacks the assurance of God's word. A culture that creates an element of doubt as far as God's word is concerned. And this lack of belief has filtered into the different communities. It has filtered into the workplaces. It has even filtered into families that cause the assurance of God's word not to be elevated, but instead to be downtrodden. The word of God is not being believed in the way in which it should have. It is a culture that is going through the communities, and more people are engulfed in this culture. But the apostle would want us to know, as he said this to us in verse 2 of 2 Peter chapter 3, that ye be mindful of the word which was spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. We need to be mindful of what they had said pertaining to the second coming of the Lord. We need not to let it slip from us. We need to have it at the forefront of our mind. We're living in a culture that is drifting away from the word of God. And the apostle would have us to believe and to remember what the prophets had said and what they themselves, the apostle of the Lord, had said pertaining to the second coming of Jesus. And tonight, I am conveying that message to all of us, that despite the culture of unbelief, the word of God still stand sure. The word of God is still the word that holds forever. In fact, the Bible tells us that every man shall pass, but his words will not pass. They will be fulfilled. And Peter went on to tell us, to inform us, that the time is going to come when there are going to be scoffers. Scoffers! Walking after their own lust. Scoffers! People who mock the word of God. People who mock the children of God. People who mock the thought of holiness. People who live according to the lust of this world. And they are right here in our communities, right here in our neighbors, right here around us. There are those who are scoffers to the word of God. And Peter made sure that he informed the church that the time will come when things like this are going to happen. It is a culture that is being created, a culture that is being flourishing, a culture of lack of assurance into what God has said. And I'm so glad, as we have heard the testimonies tonight of our sisters who were together on Saturday, and their speech to the fellowship that we have in Jesus. They speak to what it is like to have true fellowship with God and with one another. They speak to the fact that there is indeed a fellowship of brethren coming together, supporting what the psalmist said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And this tastes very good, in my opinion. The taste of it there speaks to the relationship we have in Jesus and ultimately what is going to happen when we get to glory with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a part of the church that is sweet. The fellowship of the brethren. And I trust that if you are here tonight and you are wavering, you know for sure that your name is not in the book of life. I trust by the mercies of God that you will make that path straight. We love you. And we want to know that you are in the kingdom with us. We love you because God first loved you. And no matter what you think you may have done, it does not change God's love for you. God is love. His nature is love. And he cannot change his nature. He loves you just the same. But the enemy wants to create a culture of disbelief, a culture in which lack of assurance strive. And he is getting many to engulf in this culture. And I trust that you are not one of them. But you come out from that setting. You come out from that disbelief. And you will embrace Jesus as Savior. And Peter could not help but continue to speak about, not only that he speak about scoffers who will come in the last days, but he also informs us about the judgment of God. He's making sure that he is doing everything so that we are furnished with the information that we need. Verse 6 tells us, whereby the world that then was being overflown with water perish. Verse 7, but the heaven and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter is saying to us, look, the scoffers who are saying, from creation, things continue as they were. And we have been hearing about the coming of Jesus. And nothing has changed. We have not seen any indication that anything is going to change where his second coming is concerned. Scoffers who refuse to believe the word of God. Peter addressed them here and said, look, I want to bring back things to your memory. I want to bring back things to your memory about the world in the past that was standing out of the water, in the water. And he was speaking not only of landscape, but he was speaking of people. He was speaking of the different elements that surround the then world. Peter was saying, by the word of God, by the word of God, God spake and it was done. Peter said, by the word of God, that world perish with all its inhabitants. Peter said, remember, go and look it up. Peter was saying, that world, God spoke, and the world was destroyed. What a thought! What a thought! To know that God spoke, and as a result of his words, which shall not return unto him void, but they must accomplish whatever he pleases. God spoke, and the world was dissolved. It was perished. That is what the Bible is saying to us here in verse 6. So Peter is saying to the scoffers, take a note of that. Stop and think about that. That by the word of God, the world then with its population perish. And God, and Peter is saying to us tonight, in verse 7. But the heaven and the earth which are now. Listen to carefully to what he's saying. We're talking here about judgment. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter is saying the same word that destroyed the then world and everything and everyone apart from eight souls that rides that boat, Noah's Ark. Everything perished, the apostle is saying. Peter is saying the same word that destroyed the then world. That same word is going to come in to practice again upon this world as we have it. The heaven and the earth which are now are kept in reserve unto fire. So what Peter is saying to us is that the world then was destroyed by a flood. But this time, it is not going to be by a flood. It is going to be destroyed by fire. I read verse 7 verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter is warning the entire human race about a coming judgment. And to those who refuse to believe because they are what? Scoffered, cultivating an atmosphere of disbelief. Peter is warning them and telling them, look, you are occupying a space of unbelief. But just look at what God has done by speaking his word to the then generation. God has spoken again. And God is saying, a judgment is coming. A judgment is coming where God reserves the right to speak again and dissolve the entire world by way of fire. But hear what Peter said to the believers. Because of this word which was spoken. Verse 8. But beloved, Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward, not willing that any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance. This is the God of love we are talking about here. This is the God of love. He told us that the time is going to come when scoffers are going to come around, not believing his word. Then he went on to warn us about the judgment that is on the horizon for this present world. And what is he saying to us now? He's saying to us, despite all of that, I am a God that is long-suffering. I am a God that is full of mercy. I am a God that is full of compassion. I am a God that is of the second, third, fourth, and fifth chance. Hallelujah. I am wait. I am the God that is waiting upon you, that you might escape the judgment to come. Just like how Noah was warning before the flood came. Noah warned morning, noon, and night that a flood was coming to destroy the entire world. And there were those who heard and did nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, and they were all killed. I just imagine outstanding swimmers, swim up to Noah's ark. Maybe it was all a mile off the earth. And that time they probably survived because they were such an outstanding swimmer. Up beside the ark, slamming on the side of the ark, begging for mercy, but mercy had gone. And they could not survive the length of time that the water stayed on the earth. And they all drowned. Judgment came and consumed them all because God's word has spoken to the sin. And God is saying to us tonight, I am a God of long suffering. I am a God who is waiting on you. Despite what you are saying, I am a God who is exercising patience because of you. I'm a God of mercy. I'm a God of mercy. You know what the Lord said in Ezekiel? The Lord said in Ezekiel that, look, I don't regard the debt of a sinner. I have no pleasure in somebody who died without the Lord. My Lord, God don't want anybody to die outside of him. The Lord also told us in Timothy that we should pray for the church, should pray for all men. Because his desire is that all men be saved. Hallelujah. The Bible is saying this to us now, that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have seen it in different parts of the scripture where God is expressing his feeling towards humanity, that he wishes, it is his desire that all of us be saved and come into fellowship with him. The decision you have to make is very important before God. Because God's will is that all of us be saved. Now, God could program you and me. God could program you and me to serve him. That is no big thing to God. God could put it inside of us that we have no choice than to serve him. But it would violate God's principle. Because God has given us the right to choose. All the way down there in Genesis, God gave man the right to choose. Man the right to make a decision. Man must assess a situation and make a decision. And God make it clear in his word when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, look on that word, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have eternal life. It is the whosoever. It is your decision. It is my decision. And when God see you make that decision, when God see I make that decision, God is pleased to know that we make a decision to follow him. And that's why we encourage all of you. That's why we encourage all of you that you would come into the family of God and be saved and be free from the penalty that is to come. And let me say this something to us here. God remind us of the type of judgment that is coming. Look on verse 11 here. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person are ye to be in all holiness, in all holy conversation and godliness? Godliness. You know, you remember what he had said, what Titus said to us? Listen to what Titus said to us, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Grace is looking for you. Wherever you are, grace is looking for. God has commissioned grace to find you. Because God wants to know that on the day of judgment, he has a witness. And that witness is going to be grace. Grace will say to God, I visited her on that afternoon. I visited him on this afternoon. And grace can tell you what time. Grace can tell you what day. Grace can tell you what week. Grace can tell you what year. So that God be true and every man become a liar. Grace is commissioned to go to every man. I read it again. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Grace is not coming to you empty-handed, my sister. Grace is not coming to me empty-handed. Grace is bringing salvation with it. And then the next verse, verse 12, listen to what it says here. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So when verse 11 tells us, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons are ye to be? And that's a question to us. Consider plan that God has set out here in the passage. And the information that Jesus is coming again. The word is now saying to us, what manner of person are you supposed to be? What manner of person am I supposed to be in this time? And like what had been said over there in Titus 2:11, 12 and 13. Peter reminded us here, at the footnote of this verse 11, he said, be in all holy conversation and godliness. You remember what Titus said? We can live soberly, we can live godly, we can live righteously in this present world. And Peter is saying that, what manner of person are we to be in this time? We should be in a state of holiness. Hallelujah. That's what this is someone saying there. That we should put on the old armor of God, the heavenly garment. We should put it on and keep it on. That's what you said on Sunday. The whole armor of righteousness. We should be in a state of righteousness in our conversations. What type of conversation are you having? What type of conversation am I having? Is it one that elevates holiness before God? Is it one that elevates righteousness before God? Or is it one that scoffs at God? Work on God's word. What kind of conversation occupies our heart and our mind? Peter said, seeing that these things are going to happen, what manner of persons are we to be right now? That's why we're here tonight, ministering unto you. That's why we're here tonight, wrapping our arms figuratively around you, encouraging you, my brother, encouraging you, my sister, to come over and seek Jesus before it is too late, so that you might occupy your heart with holy conversation. You might occupy your mind with only conversation. He shall keep thine heart in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe tonight that one can find true holiness. I don't want to beat Saturday anymore, because enough has been said about Saturday. But I cannot get it out of my mind. When I see the fellowship of the brethren, when you feel the fellowship, you see the fellowship, you feel the fellowship, and you rejoice in the fellowship. That is what Jesus wants us to have. And if you're a scoffer, you cannot involve in that. But if you are one who promotes holiness, what manner of person are you to be at this time? Not living in a culture of lack of assurance, but instead living in a culture of belief, a great assurance, knowing that Jesus is coming back again. Then we will be speaking holiness. We'll be speaking righteousness. We'll be speaking grace. We'll be speaking love. We will talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords Supreme. What manner of person are you to be at this time? but one that have holy conversation. And not only holy conversation, the footnote continues, but also in the vein of godliness. Holy conversation and in a godly manner. Living in a godly manner. Always conscious that God Almighty is with you. You are pleasing God at all times. Therefore, your conversation will be ordered, will be tailored to the Lord himself, because you know that he is with you. Songwriter declare, as long as I have my Lord beside me, it is all right. As long as I have his hands to hold, as long as he watches over my soul, as long as I'm under his control, it is all right. And my brother, my sister, I can only encourage you. I can only encourage you to listen to what the servant of God is saying to us tonight, to his word here, 2 Peter chapter 3. He's telling us that the time is going to come when they are going to be scoffers. But they being scoffers does not change the judgment of God. But despite their being scoffers and despite the judgment, he's telling us how we are to live. That he is not interested in the death of any sinner, but that we all will come to repentance, to express to us that he's long suffering. He's a God of mercy. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on your own soul. Like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you there? Are you at that place, my brother? Are you at that place, my sister? The preaching of the gospel tonight is that you will get there. Is that you will get there. The Bible says, without holiness, no man can see God. Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, none of us will be able to see God. And the Bible said we must be in holy conversation tonight. That is the type of person that we should be at this time. I'm glad for the brethren tonight who are in this church, who have feel and experience the presence of God. And as much as we are on a platform where we don't see each other every time that we come to meet him, we are conscious by the Spirit who communicate the relationship between all of us, that we are on the same vein and our relationship with the Lord is fresh and up to date. I bless God for the brethren who are here. And I'm sure that there are those of you who are out there and not yet come into the kingdom. My prayer, my interest tonight is that you will apply to him and you will come into the fold where Jesus will write your name down in the last book of life, and it will be recorded as of tonight. Hallelujah. And you will become one of his. But let me just read one more time here what has been said by Peter as he visits God's judgment again. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the element shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. A new world order is about to step in. The element that you are looking on right now, whether it is on Earth or in the atmosphere, are all going to be dissolved. And we're going to have a new heaven and a new earth that dwells righteousness from coast to coast. Sin will be abolished forever. The enemy and all its dragon, its angel, will be trapped, not having the opportunity anymore to trouble the sons of men. It will be righteousness from course to course. But it all starts now. It starts now for you who have not yet made that decision. Will you? A new heaven. Isaiah spoke of it. John in Revelation spoke of it. And it is spoken of in other places too in the Bible. A new heaven. A new earth. Because the former heaven, the former earth will be dissolved. Verse 10 tells us that. So the question again, what manner of person are you to be? Am I to be? In holiness and in godliness. An atmosphere, a culture of lack of assurance the enemy is spreading. But the Lord wants to create a culture of holiness, a culture of godliness, because of you and me. I don't know if you're here and you'd like to take a moment to consider it. But the Lord has sent me here with this message for you. He's a God of long suffering. He's a God of mercy. And he don't want to take out anybody in their sin. He's giving every man a chance to make it right with him. If you listen to this message, I'm appealing to you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior, even now. Father, I just bless your name. I just bless your holy name. I thank you, Lord, that you have shown us something. You have shown us a foretaste of what it is to sit around the throne of God with you and to involve in that level of fellowship with the entire Godhead. When we look through these lines, Lord, we find that there are others who are not yet in the kingdom. Instead, they are running opposition to your word by being scoffers. But Father, show mercy tonight. Show mercy tonight, we pray, that they too will be called the children of God. I look to you, Lord, that our friends, our neighbors, hallelujah, will see the light and come out of kingdom of darkness and come into this glorious light. I look to you, Father, that it will be so. We have heard the testimonies tonight, Lord, from your people of the goodness of God and the mercies of God that we have experienced on Saturday. Lord, we are not the only one who's supposed to be enjoying this. There are others, there are friends and families who are still outside. Oh, God, bring them in to the kingdom, we pray. Bring them in to the kingdom, we pray. That there will be fellowship. There will be joy and gladness in the presence of the Lord. I tell you thanks, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.